This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6. This is already Episode 20. We're going to give you 50 episodes this entire season. I am Todd Wright. The podcast is again presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area like me, you can order online very easy and conveniently at originalhooters.com. Just click the orange icon in the upper right-hand corner that says order. 12 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you, including the wonderful new location in Odessa. It's just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. It is large inside. It is very comfortable outside. Check it out. Newest Original Hooters brand location in Odessa on State Road 54. And remember, for convenient online ordering, originalhooters.com. Our big draft night is coming up at Bill Curry Ford. Everyone who has reached out, including alternates, and I thank my alternates for understanding there's always a need for alternates, because inevitably, whether it's one league and you commissioners and other owners know this, someone bails last minute, or there's a conflict, or someone is late, having alternates is a real key. So those of you know who you are as we put together our big draft night coming up at Bill Curry Ford. But I thank Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford for their continued support of the fantasy podcast, the podcast leagues in general, as we double up on the leagues from last year, drafting on the showroom floor. Sorry, haven't had my coffee yet this morning, at Bill Curry Ford. I'll be talking about that after the fact. It will be podcast material leading up to the beginning of the season next week. I expect this fantasy podcast will post sometime on Friday. You might get to it Friday. You might get to it Saturday. I'm just hoping you get to it before your fantasy draft, as fantasy drafts are commonly done over the Labor Day weekend or in the days leading up to the Thursday night kickoff, which of course this year features America's team versus America's quarterback, Cowboys versus Brady and the Bucks. So all I want to do today is react to what I see going on in other fantasy football mock drafts. And there's a tremendous free site out there to do this that I use to sort of see what everybody else is doing and kind of base my decisions off that. It's not a Bible, but it tells me what others are doing, what others are thinking. The site is fantasyfootballcalculator.com. And I simply put in non-PPR scoring. I know their standard scoring is a little different than mine, but I go non-PPR and I go by position to see where players are being selected. So what I'm going off just for this podcast, and this continually updates, data from 2,669 fantasy football mock drafts between August 29th and September 7th. That's a lot of mock drafts. So here's the way those are going. McCaffrey won. Despite the injury last year, McCaffrey won. Cook 2, one of the top three performing backs in my leagues last year. Derrick Henry. All of you know how I feel about Derrick Henry. It's not quite a man crush, but it's been a fantasy crush for a few years now. Nice that the Titans finally came around to my way of thinking on Derrick Henry. Kamara 3. So the top three producing backs in my scoring settings last year are currently going 2, 3, and 4. Only behind McCaffrey. And you know what? I get that. I'm not saying I would take McCaffrey before those three, but I understand giving McCaffrey a pass based on the injury last year based on no history prior to last year, just based on his love for the game, his situation not changing. He's not changing teams. He hasn't changed head coaches. Number five is Ezekiel Elliott. Most of you love, the only thing that eclipses my appreciation for Derrick Henry is my love for the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's a little high for Elliott. That's all I'll say. Chubb at six. I continually say to all of you, Nick Chubb is undervalued. Now he's up at six. Based on what I just said about Zeke, he may still be undervalued. Aaron Jones at seven. He just continues to produce. And if this is the last dance for Aaron Rodgers and maybe Devontae Adams of the Packers, Aaron Jones is along for the ride. Then Jonathan Taylor is the next running back. He was a top 10 back last year. Despite missing some time, the overall numbers for the season were good. And remember, he was a rookie. Saquon Barkley, eighth at the running back position. We don't know what his status will be for week one. Some looked at the Corey Clement cut as a good sign for Barkley. I have question marks. It's been a couple seasons in a row as it relates to not getting what you wanted as an owner out of Saquon Barkley. And I just don't know about the Giants offense overall. It just feels like it's not there. And do we have enough to go on that it's going to take two or three steps forward this year? It's unfortunate Barkley keeps getting hurt. 10th best running back, Najee Harris, the running back for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had the worst running game last year. They drafted Harris out of Alabama to solve that. It would make sense that they're going to feed him significantly this year. So I understand sentiment on Harris being viewed as an RB1 candidate because Pittsburgh's going to treat him that way, and Pittsburgh likes to run the frickin' football. Austin Eckler at 11. Yeah, you go ahead with that. Too many question marks. No proof of production for me. I don't call him an RB1. I don't even call him a fringe RB1/2. Antonio Gibson next as the 12th best back, according to the mock drafts that I'm looking at. Followed by Joe Mixon. Yep, still there. Still there. Boy, Joe runs hot and cold, but that's Cincinnati. Now, we can't say, well, the Bengals always suck. Well, we can say that. James Robinson, RB4 last year in my scoring settings on the shittiest team in football. All right? Unfortunately, that doesn't apply to Robinson this year because Urban Meyer's in charge. But you can't just throw Joe Mixon out saying, well, I don't want running backs on bad teams. James Robinson destroys that from last year. And I don't think it's an anomaly. I don't think you can just throw that blanket and then claim Robinson was an outlier. I don't think you can do that. Next on the running back board, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I drafted him last year. I was excited to own him. I liked everything I saw, and then I watched the first month, and then I traded him. And I never looked back from trading him. What have I told all of you about investing highly in running backs who play behind high production quarterbacks? Now, this is a little bit different as it relates to Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers, even though Rodgers will occasionally tuck it under and run in for a score. Mahomes does it more. If the Chiefs are taking a snap inside the 5-yard line, and before I even talk about who's on the field, let's think about who's most likely to score that touchdown. I'm going to say Hill and Kelsey are 1 and 2. And it's real close. Mahomes tucking it under himself to me is 3. So Hilaire is no better than 4. Yeah, to me, there's not enough value there. Then Josh Jacobs. I know many are scared off Josh Jacobs because of immediately in the offseason with the signing of Kenyon Drake. But clearly Josh Jacobs is still getting plenty of love, more probably as an RB2 for now. But I don't think John Gruden is going to take the ball significantly out of Josh Jacobs' hands. I think maybe Mike Mayock finally just, or someone convinced John Gruden, hey, it's not a pitch count thing, but we can't use him that much, or we're going to kill the kid because he wore down last year. Then David Montgomery. Bears. Bears to me is Robinson or bust, and Robinson at the wide receiver position. Montgomery's production, quietly the back half of last year, if you had him, you enjoyed it. You played him. I don't know that I'm investing my season in Montgomery at this point, just because I look at they're starting Dalton. They have Fields. They're not turning the page like Belichick already did with cutting Cam Newton. By the way, most who know me, I said months ago the Patriots would cut Cam Newton in the final roster cut. Said it months ago. So for those who say that was a surprise, well, I wasn't. Not at all. Then we get down to Chris Carson. That seems like an every year thing. It's like, do you or don't you with Chris Carson? Then James Robinson pops up. Again, we did a previous podcast on him after the ETN injury. DeAndre Swift is next. Miles Sanders. Then Daryl Henderson with the Rams, even though the Rams have acquired Sony Michel. Miles Gaskin comes next for the Dolphins. Mike Davis follows that with the Falcons. That's their top running back, at least to start the season. Kareem Hunt is next. That feels low to me. Javonte Williams going first of the Bronco running backs. Then Mostert going first of the Niner running backs. Then Damian Harris going first of the Patriot running backs. Then Chase Edmonds going first of the Arizona running backs. And then it's Trey Sermon. And then Gus Edwards follows that as a result of the J.K. Dobbins injury. So there's just the running backs. Let me run through. Let me do the wide receivers for you. All right. I won't do the quarterbacks, but let's do the wide receivers. Again, this is data from 2,669 fantasy football mock drafts done between August 29th and September 2nd via fantasyfootballcalculator.com. Wide receiver 1, Adams. Wide receiver 2, Hill. Wide receiver 3, Diggs. I'm good with that. I'm not saying I would do it, but they were top 3 in my settings last year. They're top 3 off the board in the most recent mock drafts. DK Metcalf is 4. Calvin Ridley is 5. DeAndre Hopkins is 6. Are we undervaluing Hopkins again? Justin Jefferson, 7. If you can get Justin Jefferson, I say take him. The Vikings, to me, are playing fantasy football this year. A.J. Brown, 8. You're dealing with an A.J. Brown now with Julio Jones. And A.J. wasn't a top 10 performer last year. Keenan Allen, and again, you know, think about, let me just offer the Chiefs analogy again. So when you're thinking about taking A.J. Brown, all right, when you're thinking of taking him, if the Titans are on the 5-yard line, who's most likely to get the shot to score the touchdown? Number 1 is Derrick Henry. Number 2 is Derrick Henry. And now number 3 is Julio Jones. That's cause for pause for me on A.J. Brown. Keenan Allen, 9. I used to dislike Keenan Allen. I called him a wide receiver who would produce yardage between the 20s, but not in the red zone. That was gone last year. And that was with Justin Herbert. I think Allen has value this year. I like Herbert a lot. I've told my friend, I don't even think I've talked about this on a podcast. If I had had one of the top few, I'll just say this. If I was the Jets last year, and I know there's a lot of excitement about this kid from BYU, but I'm not buying in for now. Not writing him off. I'm just not buying him in for now, buying for now. But if I'm sitting there at 2 and I'm running the Jets draft, I actually call the LA Chargers and I say, do you want this pick and we'll take Herbert? That's what I would have done. See if I can start a dialogue. I might even sweeten the pot. I would take Herbert after 1 year in the NFL rather than any of the other rookies who were unproven at the time. I might have even thought about it if I was the Jags at 1 as it related to Lawrence. McLaurin at 10. CeeDee Lamb at 11. I'll say this again about the Cowboys. If you have any concerns based on reports out of Dallas on Dak Prescott, and they just brought in Will Greer to be the new backup. They said they were going to kick the tires on Cam as of the time of this podcast. They're either done kicking or still kicking. If you have any concerns on Dak, why would you draft Lamb as your wide receiver 1? Because if Dak can't get it done, Lamb isn't getting it done either. And I know he had huge downfield numbers last year. I don't question Lamb, but you can't love the wide receiver and have concerns about the quarterback. Mike Evans, number 12, seems low. Seems low to me. Allen Robinson, 13. You just can't go wrong with him. You just can't. Then Robert Woods, 14. He's got Matt Stafford now. Julio Jones, 15. Adam Thielen, 16. Some are saying that Thielen last year, there will be touchdown regression on Thielen. I still think the Vikings are playing fantasy football, and Kirk Cousins is going to look his way a lot in red zone situations. I worry more about Thielen's health, just based on the last couple years. Amari Cooper, 17. Chris Godwin, 18. Cooper Kupp, 19. Tyler Lockett, 20. Brandon Ayuk, 21, seems high. Deontay Johnson, 22. Michael Thomas starts the year on PUP. Out a month. Everything involving the Saints seems messy to me. I may not be touching anything with the Saints. DJ Moore, a wide receiver, 24. Claypool, 25. Odell Beckham Jr., 26. T. Higgins, 27. Jerry Jeudy, 28. Ja'Marr Chase, 29. I know a Bengal fan. He said Ja'Marr Chase is acting like he hasn't been hit in 2 years because he hasn't been hit in 2 years. Kenny Golladay now with the Giants, 30. Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner, 31 with Philadelphia. Antonio Brown, 32 for Tampa Bay. That seems low. Cortland Sutton, 33. Juju, 34. How he has fallen. Robbie Anderson, 35 with Carolina. Seems low. Deebo Samuel, 36. Michael Pittman, 37. DJ Chark, 38. How quickly that changes after last year's bad year, even though he now has a better quarterback. Chenault, 39. Tyler Boyd, 40, seems low. So those are the top 40 wide receivers as it relates to data from Fantasy Football Calculator from 2,669 Fantasy Football mock drafts between August 29th and September 2nd. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Good luck in your drafts. We'll talk to you soon.